Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
The price we're paying.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. You probably don't even need to hear this. I'm guessing you feel it every day at the grocery store or the gas station. But prices for just about everything are going up. This morning, the government said inflation at the wholesale level shot up 1.1% last month, and it's probably trickling down to the retail level. That's the second biggest increase in 33 years and three times what analysts had expected. It's especially disconcerting since we're probably in a recession. Recession plus inflation equals stagflation. The price of oil is playing its part. This morning it set another record, almost $114 a barrel. So far, Wall Street's shaking it off. The Dow is up 59 points to 12,361. The NASDAQ is up 7, and the S&P 500 has gained 5. The markets in Asia closed 0.5% higher today. European shares are up more than 1% so far. The cost of fuel is one reason Delta Airlines and Northwest have agreed to merge. They announced a share swap last night. But this is far from a done deal. Unions, regulators, Congress, they'll all have a say first. But let's say it happens. What does it mean for fare prices? Here's Jeremy Hobson.
When Delta CEO Richard Anderson announced the merger with Northwest, he laid out the benefits.
It will provide a strong capital base, improved customer service, stable jobs, and returns for shareholders.
Notice what he didn't say, lower fares. That's because if anything, says Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly, fares should rise with less competition, especially in some markets.
The areas where fares would be most likely to go up are actually certain smaller and mid-sized places where Delta and Northwest together provide the most service, a place like, let's say, Lexington, Kentucky.
What could make fares go up across the board, he says, is further consolidation in the industry. After the news about Delta and Northwest, a deal between United and Continental could be imminent, and others may need to follow to stay competitive. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
If you haven't filed your taxes, and you're not doing it today, you need to fill out IRS Form 4868. Of course, if you get a six-month extension, your rebate check will be delayed. The government will be mailing out $100 billion in those checks. Retailers are already plotting ways to take that money away from you. Jill Barchet reports.
For the first time, Sony Electronics has dedicated an entire advertising campaign to tax season. Megan Baffert is a marketing executive there. She wants Americans to spend their tax refunds on high-definition televisions.
We wanted to change and create a new selling season for TVs, where there really wasn't one in the past.
Struggling retailers are praying the tax rebates will be a lifeline in these tough times. Home Depot is asking Americans to invest their rebate checks in eco-friendly products. Nick Soulelis is a professor at the Wharton School of Business. He says Americans spent two-thirds of the stimulus rebates of 2001.
The largest category of spending was apparel and then food and health. This time, we're likely to see more spending on durables.
That's because this year's rebate checks at $1,200 per couple are twice as large as those in 2001. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
Testosterone might make you richer. Okay, maybe that's taking it a little too far. But a study of British market traders found a correlation between their levels of testosterone and their profits. Researchers at Cambridge say the hormone might help people focus, but they also say consistently high levels might make traders reckless. To Italy we go now. Silvio Berlusconi is back. He's been elected Italy's premier for the third time in 14 years. Let's bring in our correspondent in Rome, Megan Williams. Megan, he's been in and out of office, loved and hated. Why are Italians turning to Mr. Berlusconi again?
Well, you have to look at who's turning to him, and it's generally older voters who have had some economic stability in their life, state jobs, who are scared. I mean, they know the economy's turning down, and Berlusconi has always reassured them that he's going to protect them and their families. But it's interesting because, you know, 6 years ago when he was elected, he promised all sorts of economic miracles. He's not saying that this time, although what he's saying he's going to do is similar, but he's saying, you know, we're in for some tough times.
Another issue for him is Italy's national airline, Alitalia. Big problems. What is he saying about Alitalia?
Well, to say Alitalia is in dire straits is a vast understatement. I mean, Alitalia is losing €1 million a day, and Air France was about to buy it, and then the unions kind of sabotaged that deal in the end. But what was interesting is just before elections, Berlusconi came out protesting against the sale to a foreign country, saying Alitalia should remain in Italy. The only thing he said so far is that he'll kind of slap together a bunch of Italian investors who will somehow save the company, but it's a company that's owned half by the Italian state. So who's going to be paying for this mess? Taxpayers.
Okay, Megan Williams in Rome. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
This is the Morning Report for Tuesday, April 15th on Marketplace.org. There's a new study out today that I believe was timed specifically to come out today. It tallied up the cost to taxpayers of two things, divorce and unwed childbearing, $112 billion. John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
Sponsored by the Institute for American Values, the report finds people from broken homes make more use of some government programs. Georgia College economics professor Ben Scafidi is the report's author.
They're more likely to use Medicaid, more likely to use school nutrition programs. They're more likely to go to jail.
Scafidi says public policies that promote marriage could reduce the taxpayer cost of divorce and out-of-wedlock births. But University of Michigan economist Rebecca Blank says it's wrong to think that money is ill-spent.
Divorce and family breakup are a fact of life in this society and not one that is going to go away anytime soon. We need to do some things that make sure that the children and the families that come out of that situation are helped.
The report's sponsors say businesses should adopt more family-friendly employee benefits to help families stay together. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Back to those tax forms. Raise your hand if you cheated this year. Embellished. Fudged. Told a little white lie. Okay, you don't have to tell me. But here's some interesting insight from commentator and MIT professor Dan Ariely.
Let me tell you about an experiment we did at MIT on cheating with some unsuspecting students. We took a sheet of paper with 20 simple math problems that everybody could solve given enough time, but we didn't give people enough time to solve them all. We handed the participants the quiz and told them that we would pay them $1 for each correct answer. When 5 minutes were over, they handed the sheet back to us. On average, they solved 4 problems and we paid them $4 each. We then gathered another group for the same experiment. But this time, when the 5 minutes were up, we asked them to shred the piece of paper and simply tell us how many questions they solved correctly. Interestingly, on average, participants in this group said they solved about 7 problems correctly. So what happened? Our students didn't become smarter all of a sudden. Instead, they cheated. But it's not as if a few students cheated a lot. What we found was that a lot of students cheated a little bit. Sounds a little bit like the fudging many of us do on our taxes. But here is something else we did. We asked a third group of students to sign an honor code before solving the problems. When the 5 minutes were over, they shredded a piece of paper. But it turns out that these students who signed the honor code didn't cheat at all. What does this tell us about the tax code? Well, imagine what would happen if instead of signing your tax form at the bottom, you sign a pledge up front. I declare that everything I say here will be the truth, the only truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God and everybody else. And then fill out your tax form. Would cheating be lower under that condition? I am not sure, but if I were the IRS, I would definitely try to find out.
Dan Ariely teaches behavioral economics at MIT. He also wrote the book Predictably Irrational. Why go to the pharmacy? Turns out a plain old glass of tap water includes a long list of prescription medication. Now, these are very small traces, but Congress is still concerned. Today, there's a hearing on the safety of our drinking water. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Today's Senate hearing was prompted by recent Associated Press reports that found traces of drugs like antibiotics, antidepressants, and heart medications in the drinking water of 24 major cities. The culprit is human waste that makes its way back into the water supply, drugs intact. Pharmaceutical companies say there's no proven risk to human health. But Natural Resources Defense Council scientist Jennifer Sass says those findings are based on individual drug exposures, not the cocktails found in municipal water supplies.
These chemicals are active in our bodies, even at those low levels. And in addition, we're getting a lot of them, not just one or two, and not just by prescription.
Sass says the problem shows just how pervasive prescription drug use has become in America. Meanwhile, a White House task force assigned to the issue has failed to meet its deadline for devising a national research strategy. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Pope Benedict XVI comes to Washington today. Later this week, he visits New York. And already, people are selling souvenirs of his trip to America, like soap. Soap, Pope on a rope soap. Nancy Marshall Genzer has our story.
It's a potpourri of papal products. If Pope on a rope soap doesn't make you smell good enough, try the Pope's cologne. It's heaven scent. You can get it on the internet. But Dennis Ziegler says those are tasteless trinkets.
This night, 2004.
Ziegler runs the bustling gift shop at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington. He's got lots of T-shirts and mugs, but he doesn't stock bobbleheads, soaps, or cologne.
Over here we have Pope Benedict bumper stickers. I love the Pope.
There's also a life-size Pope cutout. Passing students high-five its outstretched hand, and tourists pose for pictures.
I'm going over here with the Pope. You going to take a picture now?
Retiree Geneva Tenner says the cutout is okay, but she's very glad the shop doesn't stock the soap.
I think that's disgusting. Why wash your body with the Pope?
But other Catholics in the shrine shop say, hey, it's just good, clean fun. Mary Warshot doesn't even mind the Benedict bobbleheads. She says they speak to some people.
I don't know what the message is for a Pope on a rope or a bobblehead, but maybe it's there. I'm just missing it.
Message in a bobble.
A message in a bobble.
Washington's Metro Transit System made a TV ad starring the Pope bobblehead. He rides the train because his Pope-mobile broke down. His message, take the train to his big outdoor mass on Thursday.
Avoid the unholy traffic. Take Metro.
The ad got Metro in an unholy mess. They pulled it after offended Catholics complained, but it lives on YouTube. Sarah Blavelt is a teacher for the Washington Archdiocese. She says teens love the bobblehead video.
It makes him accessible. You know, in a world where so many people find the church inaccessible, to me it's a great connection.
Blavelt says, like it or not, the best way to build broad appeal these days is through mass merchandising. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gall. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.